Hi, this is Dr. Freddy Cardoza, and you're listening to the Cardoza Cast. Check us out on the web at www.freddycardoza.com or check out www.ileadit.com. In today's podcast, we're going to deal with the question, why did Jesus come to earth? Why did Jesus come to earth? Well, it begins with the assumption that Jesus did come to earth. Jesus is the most well-attested historical person from the ancient world. Historical knowledge in reference to him far exceeds that of any person of antiquity. This would include the likes of Julius Caesar, Alexander the Great, Plato, Socrates, or anyone else a person could think of. And when it comes to leaders of various faiths, so little is known about some religious leaders of the past that they are more legendary than historical. Not so with Jesus. In fact, to deny the existence or historicity of Christ is as intellectually dishonest as it would be to deny the Holocaust. No self-respecting or legitimate person would be so brazen to do it. So Jesus did, in fact, come to earth. And if so, the mind wonders, why did he come in the first place? What did he come to do? Well, the Bible teaches that Jesus was not only a regular human being coming to earth in order to restore social justice or to point to a particular deity. Indeed. No, rather Jesus came as a being who is a single person, but one with two natures. That is to say that Jesus was God incarnate. That's simply a phrase that means Jesus was God in the flesh. And this Jesus, the Christ, often called Jesus the Messiah, was what Christians call the God-man. Jesus was, and is, a person, the only person with a divine and human nature, fully God, fully man. Jesus was, and is, God in the flesh. Now, one wonders, why in the world would God come to earth? Well, he came to the scene of the crime. And I'll get to that in just a second. But it's important to understand that Christianity does not teach that it was God the Father who came to earth, but that God, in his infinite and unknowable wisdom, existed eternally in the past as Father, Son, and Spirit, and that these three persons collectively form one God, the one and only God. I know it's hard to wrap your mind around, but Christianity and the Bible and all great leaders of the Christian faith throughout history who have held a biblical view on God have taught that God existed in that holy triunity, the Holy Trinity as we call it, Father, Son, or sometimes called Word, Father, Word, and Spirit, Father, Son, and Spirit. And Father, Son, and Spirit are a unified and united spirit being in the past. And these people exist, this person actually exists, in three non-contradictory expressions. And that in eternity past, if we could say it that way, God fashioned his eternal Son, often called the second person of the Trinity, into the likeness of a man. Meaning, God the Son, who became the person of Jesus Christ, took on flesh, a human body, and was implanted mysteriously and supernaturally into the womb of Mary, the Virgin. And as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, not impregnated her, but as he caused her non-sexually to conceive, this Mary became pregnant without the aid of man. and began to carry the God-man, the Christ, the Messiah, in her womb. And that baby, secretly the God of the universe in human form, the one and only begotten Son of God, was ultimately born and named to the Jews Yeshua, or we may call him Joshua, the Messiah, or as the Greeks would know him, Jesus Christos, what the English-speaking world knows as Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Now, why did the incarnation happen? Why did God become flesh? Why was there a theological need for God to enter time? Why did this being or personage need to be fully man? Why did he need to be fully God? There's so much to this, more than could ever be covered now. So a lot more will have to be said later, no doubt. But the primary answer lies in this. Because the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, meaning humanity. And he did this because Jesus came to reconcile lost humanity with God. Now, you may say, what do you mean by lost? Well, in an earlier podcast, I mentioned that humanity was estranged from God, and that this existential lostness that we have, this brokenness of relationship, has been caused by sin. Meaning that in the Garden of Eden, humanity began in innocence. But then humanity corrupted themselves through first being deceived treacherously, and ultimately in willful disobedience. And that willful disobedience is what we call sin. Now, this event is called the fall of humanity, or sometimes the fall of man. And the fall meant that the original state of innocence that God created humanity in was now violated, and that all humanity would thereafter be estranged from God due to sin. But God sent Christ as a mediator who would resolve that broken relationship by restoring it. A mediator is one who represents all parties involved. And Jesus became the one mediator between God and humanity, representing God as God, and yet representing man to God as a man, hence the God-man. And because Jesus was fully God and fully man, Jesus was the only person fit to become the Messiah. So, as a man, Jesus offered himself to God on the cross as a bloody sacrifice. And this bloody sacrifice basically was replacing and supplanting all other necessary living sacrifices that had ever been made to God once and for all. And because he was a perfect man, he gave himself as an offering for man. But because he was and is God, this offering was accepted by God, because only God can forgive sin, and only God can save people from their sin. So in a crude sense, Jesus came to save us from a sin. That's the cause. That's why Jesus came. But the effect of Jesus coming is reconciliation. That Jesus, through this singular, unthinkable, unrepeatable act of service, this unspeakable gift, made the way for all people of all times and of all places to come to God and to receive forgiveness, and because they are forgiven, to thereby restore the relationship with God in Christ alone, through faith in Him alone. And for a person to take advantage of that, an individual simply needs to place his or her faith in the finished work of Christ that He completed on that cross. To learn more specifically about that, and how to put all this together in your own life, check out my May 10, 2008 podcast entitled, What Does It Mean to Become a Christian? You can find all this on www.freddycardoza.mypodcast.com. Thanks for checking us out.